Sharp Tongue Tuesday. Your girl Jessie May in your ear. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. How's your week going? Are you killing it? Is it killing you? Are you trying your hardest? Are you giving up? What is it? Tell me what it is. I need to know. I need to know. I hope you guys are doing well. I'm doing great. Feeling good. I'm going to be in Key West this week. I will be at the Open Stage Club in Key West May 30th, 31st. I'm going to be in Miami on June 1st, I believe. Key West in Miami this weekend. JessieMay.com for tickets, Open Stage Club, and also Have Nots Comedy. I believe we're going to be at the Miami Improv this weekend. So check it out, y'all. I'm also going to be doing a little local show in Miami on June 3rd, Monday. So everybody look out for that. If you're in the Miami, Florida area, come out. JessieMay.com for tickets. As you guys know, anytime you buy tickets or merch from me, a portion of it will go to the Alzheimer's Association. So by supporting me, you're supporting people in need. Good for you. Good for you giving back. I appreciate you. And I'm also going to be in Albany, New York. That's going to be June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Pumped up. Pump up the jam. Pump it up. I'm also going to be back on Confetti. I'm excited about that. That's going to be June 1st, summer solstice. The longest day? Is it the longest day? It is the longest day. The Alzheimer's Association. What was that noise? The Alzheimer's Association will be doing the summer solstice, the longest day, as a fundraising event all over the country for Alzheimer's. If you guys can check that out, that would be amazing. You guys can do anything you want if you want to be involved. You know, a car wash, a party, pizza party, roller skating party, a show, bingo night, you know, a cook-off, anything, karaoke, whatever you guys want to do to bring awareness to this amazing, amazing event. It's all sorts of fundraising opportunities, and we're going to be raising awareness for the disease on that day. I'm very excited to be a part of it. You guys could do a craft, host a party, cook, golf, anything, really anything. If you guys want to contact the events manager, Rachel Schall, at rkschall, S-C-H-A-L-L, at alts.org. That is her email. If you guys want more information, go to alts.org/thelongestday on how you can be a part of the fundraising event on June 21st to raise awareness. That's what, you know, we got to do what we can do to help our neighbors, our mothers, our brothers, unless they're assholes, and fuck them. You know, well, don't fuck them, especially not in Alabama. Heyo, topical subjects here on the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm excited that you guys are here this week. Thank you for listening every week. I'm going to be building my Patreon page. I had it, and then I dropped it, and now I'm bringing it back for good. It's just going to be a Jessie May page. It's going to include my podcast. It's going to include Weeds Day and any live events that I'm doing. Just one central place for you guys to find some extra content from me. So look out for that. My YouTube page is up. I'm excited about that. You can watch the podcast now on YouTube. You're going to go to youtube.com/livelaugh82. Please don't laugh at my name, because for some reason on YouTube, I can't get Jessie May. So we're working on that right now. We're in contact with YouTube being like, hey, yo, this is my name. I had it before. Give it back to me, you filthy whore. But that's available. You guys can just Google the podcast on YouTube. Google the podcast on YouTube. I sound like somebody's fucking mom right now. Man, is it ever a time for day wine. You know what I'm saying? It's always a good time for day wine. I had Nancy here a couple weeks ago. You guys probably saw that. She was on the Weeds Day with me. On the Weeds Day, we were day drinking, smoking a little marijuana. You know, I love to do my Weeds Day every Wednesdays. If you guys haven't watched that, check it out. Facebook, Instagram Live. I smoke live, on air, answer your questions, make fun of you, make fun of myself. It's a lot of fun. Just a little hour of getting high with me Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, yeah. I wish I was a singer, man. I have dreams once in a while that I'm a professional singer. And in my dreams, I sound good. I sound really good in my dreams. But in reality, it's brutal. Whenever I sing, there just a bunch of crows show up because they assume that something's dying. Speaking of something's dying, a sweet segue into this week's guest. I was really excited to sit down and chat with this fella because we've known each other for years but never really got to know each other. So it was nice to have the opportunity to sit down with him and realize that him and I had a lot in common. We talked about comedy. We talked about religion. We talked about our dads. This is one of my favorite episodes in a long time. I hope you guys enjoy it with a very funny, very endearing, and vulnerable man, which is so nice. The funny, endearing, vulnerable, Mr. Eric Rivera. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Hey everybody, another Sharp Tongue Podcast in your ear. It's your girl Jessie Mae. I showered, but I didn't wash my hair. Hey, what do you want from me? I'm trying to keep it collective and keep it cute for you. Coming up is a very exciting episode with one of my, somebody who I'm not very close with. I was going to say one of my friends, but we don't really know each other. But we're going to get to know each other in this episode. Before we do that, please go to hakunasupply.com/Jessie Mae. I've got all stash boxes. I've got stash jars. I've got stash. I got rolling trays, grinders. If you guys need some sort of accessories for your marijuana, cannabis, CBD, THC needs, go over there. Use code JessieMayCBD for 15% off. And you guys can have a little discount on your entire purchase. How exciting. I mean, I have to be truthful about it. Coming to the microphone is Mr. Eric Rivera.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
We aren't close friends.
We're not. We've known each other for a while, but just never really.
We haven't really had a full conversation.
Yeah.
Is it awkward that it's on a podcast?
It might be. now that you pointed that out, I'm like, huh.
I just don't like. I feel like when I've listened to episodes or somebody else's podcast, they're like, this is my really good friend.
Yeah. We go way back.
I mean, I'm not going to say it if it's not true.
Yeah.
I think you're cool and I love your comedy.
I've seen you around. I like you. And now that you say it, now it's become like an awkward first date.
I know. It's going to be so.
Where are you from?
Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
from New York?
Yeah, born and raised in
New
York.
What part?
I grew up in New Rochelle.
Okay, so
That's like North Bronx.
North, yes.
That's like where, the ongoing joke was like when Puerto Ricans get credit, they move to New Rochelle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They go to New Rock City. Like that was the whole,
New Rock City.
Yes.
I used to do, there was like a weird bar that I would do stand up in like on Monday or Tuesdays. There was like a weekly show.
Well, I know for a while somebody tried to start a comedy club in New Rochelle.
I think it might have been
take off.
That.
It was like a DJ. I want to say Goomba Johnny, but that sounds very racist.
Johnny.
But I believe that was his DJ name.
It was something that was trying to get started and it was in a bar. That sound similar?
It sounds, yeah.
Would you go down into the city a lot?
Growing up, I didn't. I was very religious.
Catholic?
I was Pentecostal Christian.
Whoa.
Yes.
That sounds scary.
It is. All right. So you know those videos that you watch where like people are like dancing and falling and talking.
No.
That's Pentecostal Christian.
Like with like evangelical.
Yes.
Oh no.
Like whenever I bring up Pentecostal Christian, people are like, what's that? I'm like, think about like extreme game sports. That's like the extreme Christianity.
Like Kirk Franklin?
Yeah. So growing up, I wasn't allowed to like watch regular TV, listen to regular music, worldly music.
Was it all religious based?
It was all religious based. So like I would listen to like Christian hip hop. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then, and then I heard regular hip hop. I was like, oh no, this is not cool.
You're like, this is terrible. There's Christian hip hop.
Yes, there's Christian hip hop. There's Christian rock. There's Christian whatever you want.
And they're hip hopping about Jesus?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I swear
I don't
to
know
you.
Why. Like, I know there's Christian rock. I've heard those radio stations when I've driven, but I never even considered the possibility of Christian hip-hop.
It's Christian hip-hop.
Do you know the names of any Christian hip-hop?
Like, there was this one dude that I was, like, really big on. His name was Carmen, and he was, like, just... He was the
Carmen
guy.
Carmen the Apostle?
I don't know.
How are they missing that opportunity? Was?
But, yeah, so I didn't go into the city a lot because it was, the city was evil, like, from my family. Like, you don't go to the city. Cities that like that's where drugs happen, hookers, people get murdered. So
they're
I was like,
right.
So I was like, oh,
that's
was,
also where all the fun is.
Yeah. So I was terrified of the city, but then come college time, I was like, oh, I want to go away, like because all my other friends were going away.
They're right.
Like, I'm going to Florida. I was like, oh, I want to go away. My mom was like, you're not going away.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Pace University. In
oh,
the city.
Nice. Pace is right tucked in there.
Yes.
So is it Fort 15th? Is it?
No. Where it's is by it? The Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. It's low. It's lower Manhattan.
So for me, I was like, oh, if I'm not going to go away to experience college, then I'm going to go into the city where I'm not allowed.
And how did that, like, were you naive going into the city?
Very. I was still a virgin going into college.
I thought you said no. I thought you were like, I'm still a virgin. No, I was like, what? Oh, my. Are you? Wow. We got to get you some. Yeah. We got to get you some.
No, I got kids. I've been done it. Yeah, I got two kids.
I didn't even know you had two kids.
See, look at this. We're learning about each other.
You look so young.
Yeah.
How old are you?
37.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should probably have a couple kids by now. I'm 36.
You want one? I'll give you one. You can
maybe I shouldn't borrow one.
You borrow one for... I always tell people like that are like, oh, I'm thinking about having kids. Like, borrow one just for a couple days.
Just test it out.
See what it is.
The government should have a program for people.
Yeah. There's a bunch of kids just sitting in adoption.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Just borrow kids.
Snatch one up.
Yeah, right?
Foster.
There you go.
You want a child foster.
You want to see what it's going to do and affect your schedule.
Yes.
Because I got a friend now. He's about to have a kid in May, and he's just like, oh, no. You know, we'll sleep schedule him. He'll be on my schedule. I'm like, no, they don't
sleep.
Yeah,
I read something that said parents lose in the 6 months of like having their first child, they just basically lose all the sleep.
Yeah,
it's like something like
there's nothing
3 years worth of sleep, whatever the number was. It was really offensive.
The baby doesn't know your routine.
He can't
communicate like, oh, this is what we're gonna do, and you can't communicate to him like, this is how it goes here in the house. I sleep till noon.
Yeah, he just came out of a wet womb.
Yes. So, and he's attached, so he's getting fed constantly.
Yes.
So now he's up and he's like, oh, I'm gonna wake up every 2-3 hours when I get hungry.
You woke up somebody in the most comfortable scenario. And cut off his food supply.
Think about how hard it is to get out of bed when you're wrapped up in comforters and it's cold out.
Yeah, imagine someone yanking you out of bed if you had just a tube of grilled cheese.
Yeah, just
endless grilled cheese.
Mac and cheese, grilled cheese, all the best food in the world.
You're like, leave me the fuck alone. Yeah. I'm exhausted. I'm cranky. What is this place? Yeah. Where's my mom?
Exactly.
Kids are just like, they just need stuff.
So those first couple months, you don't sleep. It's a blur.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awful.
But who's going to take care of me when I'm older?
Exactly.
Is that like selfish?
you need somebody that cares and is going to make sure you're okay. So, all right, so we sidetracked, but
yeah.
I go into the city because I was very like, I don't know anything. And
yeah.
This is where they tell me not to go. And like that just opened up my eyes to everything. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
The city's great.
City's the best.
What did you study at Pace?
Communications.
What does that even mean? Is that like
nothing.
A news anchor career?
It means nothing.
Like
it means,
broadcast communication?
I guess. There was a little Asian kid with a camera and there was a guy with a microphone. I was like, I want to do that. That's it. That's all I saw.
And did you like make videos?
No, I didn't. Well, you got to realize... I'm seeing now because I'm older. Like they didn't have what they have now. It's like,
God, we're old.
Yes,
you said that, and I was like, don't say that, but you're right.
Like when I was in high school, I did an internship at a radio station, and when I tell this story, people are like, what? I was like, I was legit cleaning like 8-tracks.
I was doing the same thing. I did an internship, and I had to record commercials, and it was on like
on
the
8-track tapes.
Yes, on 8-track tapes.
Yes. If you tell that to a kid now, they'd be
like, what
the hell is that?
Tape?
Yeah, what? CDs.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah,
CDs.
That's...
CDs. Yeah. Bye.
I remember being with a DJ and be like, all right, hand me that CD because I gotta set that one up next. Now everything's computerized.
Like, I know.
No one mans anything.
No more DVDs.
No. No.
No more. Like, even just talking to your comedy friends, like, when's your, you know, you should get your DVD going.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
No one's doing a DVD.
But sadly, people in the Midwest still buy them.
Because
I've seen people selling them. Man. And I'm like, oh.
That's one of my favorite things. Like when you're on the road and you stop in like some rest stop or some local store and they have like the basket of DVDs on sales. And it's always like Sweet Home Alabama.
Right.
And like 17 Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
Right. That you've never heard of.
Yeah. So how did you, like, as a kid, being so sheltered, were you exposed to like American culture, pop culture? Like, were you able to listen to, even though he's a kid toucher and he's dead, but we have to mute him, like Michael Jackson or like any of that?
I did when I was with my cousins and stuff, like my old man, like whenever my mom wasn't around, he'd like put the radio on and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
He would sneak?
He would cheat? Well, he was the one that showed me like comedy. Like he,
like when, what do you remember? What was like, your first memory of it?
So like I remember Eddie Murphy, like raw, delirious. Like when my mom would go to work at night, he'd be like, hey. He'd crack open a beer because he wasn't as religious as she was. And he goes, you want to watch? I'm like, all right. And I'd watch all that stuff. And then he'd like, there'd be movies. I'm like, I should not be watching this.
That's
like,
so funny. Yeah. My dad did the same thing.
Yeah. He was like, come watch. Funny. Just don't tell your mother. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Did you keep it a secret?
Of course. Well, I got in trouble a couple times because I would like repeat stuff. Because like, oh my God, that was so funny. Like Eddie Murphy, the ice cream bit. And or like the G.I. Joe in the butt. And I'm like, oh, hilarious. Yeah. And then I'd get in trouble. Like, where'd you learn that? I'm like, I don't know.
And then what happened? I mean, obviously you went to college and then you got exposed to the real world.
Yeah.
Not that your mother's, what she was providing for you didn't, I'm sure, have some sort of benefit, but that's also very sheltering.
Oh, yeah.
And slightly limiting experience for a child.
I would not do that to my kids.
Why do you think she was raised that way? Do you think that's why she raised you that way?
She was raised religious, but for her it was like, you know, she was trying to do better than her parents did, so this was the way to do it.
Right.
Like, when I tell you I was, like, extremely religious, I remember at the age of 16, maybe 15, we did a ceremony at the church where I got married to God so I wouldn't have sex. It was like a prom, and I had a ring on and everything.
No!
I swear to God.
What? Don't swear to God. That's your husband. Yeah. Don't you swear to your husband?
But like, it was an extreme level of shelteredness because she was trying to protect me. But that's so bad because then me and my little sister, because we have a sibling, when we finally did get exposed to it, we kind of went a little crazy.
Well, how would you not? If all you did, if you just like did any one thing.
Yeah.
For a long time. Like, here's the equivalent. I've been watching Game of Thrones nonstop to catch up for the 14th.
I still haven't watched
it. I'm going
it.
Crazy.
Still have not
watched it.
I know.
You haven't watched Game of Thrones. Did you wear a dress when you married Jesus?
I did not.
Did your sister marry Jesus?
I don't think she did, but she used to sing at church. So she
didn't have to marry Jesus?
She didn't have to marry Jesus. To him? I did. I married Jesus.
So she was like the Goomba?
Yeah, she was the black sheep of the family.
Yeah, she was just like, she was like Jesus' side piece.
Yeah, she was the side piece.
You were the wife and she was Do you talk about that in your special?
I don't. I have not even started delving into the religious
stuff.
I know. But I started writing the stuff because now I have my kids and I'm like, I have to expose them to religion. Like, this happened last Christmas. We were talking about Christmas in front of the kids and, you know, the whole family's together. And then my mom's trying to explain to my son. She's like, oh, it's Jesus' birthday. And he's like, who's Jesus? And I was like, yeah, I got to get him to church.
You're like, oh,
you got to at least know the basics, dude.
I mean, yeah, but like, so are you raising them religious?
I'm not.
Is your wife religious?
She's not. We have not been to church yet with the kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting that it was such a part of, it was all of your upbringing. Yeah. And you're not even...
Yeah.
Well, how does your mom feel
My mom's upset. She's always like, when are you going to go back to church? And in her head, because she sees me do comedy, she's like, you know, you'd make a great preacher. Like, she's still holding on to hope that somehow I will turn it around and be like, you know what?
Can you imagine you, like, you do a special and it's just, like, preaching comedy? That would be so, so funny. I think you should start it on Sundays. I think you should do, like, how Kanye has his Sunday church. You should do your comedy church.
My comedy church?
Yeah, I would go. I don't go to church, but I go to that church.
But I'm not clean enough.
Fuck it. Like, do your own church.
I've done shows with people that are like, oh, you got to be clean. And as I'm up there, I'm like, I'm a little dirty. Like, I'm not dirty, but like,
you're not Seinfeld.
As I'm doing bits, I'm like, oh, this is.
It's real. I think maybe because I am similar, I don't like to equate it to dirty or raunchy or any one of these words or adjectives. It's a little bit more real.
Right.
You know, maybe raw if you want to go there. But
it's not dirty.
Yeah.
It's just uncensored.
Uncensored. Because, hey, that's a better word.
Yeah, because if you look at people, especially, no offense to your mother, but people who are devout religious and even preachy about it.
Right.
There tends to sometimes be a little bit of dirt underneath all that polish.
Right.
You know, I mean, fuck, look at the Catholic Church.
Right.
I mean, they were like the top of religion. They were probably the most powerful religion, if not still, in the world,
right.
in history.
And still.
And fucking little
skeletons.
Boys.
Yeah.
And then hiding all of that. But preaching the pure word.
Right.
It's very inconsistent.
Yeah. And it's still happening today,
it's
to this day.
Happening.
And people don't care.
People are still going to church.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand. That sort of thing just blows my mind.
Right.
Where just that inconsistency and the hypocrisy.
So you didn't grow up in church?
No. I mean, a similar situation, kind of like my mom grew up semi-religious. My dad grew up Catholic. So we just went to a Protestant church. But we didn't, we just went out of routine.
We didn't carry it
at home.
I like Catholic church because it's like an hour. You go in.
And you get some snacks.
Pentecostal Christians.
But then you might get a finger in the butt.
You might get, you know
you
what?
You might have to marry a priest in his closet.
I married Jesus.
You can handle a priest if you got Jesus.
See, Pentecostal church would go from like 9 a.m. till whenever. Yeah.
That is just hijacking. That's offensive.
That's why now it's like, do you want to go to church? I'm like, no. I'm like PTSD.
Like,
I'm like,
how
no,
long
yeah.
is it?
So when people are like, oh, it's an hour, I'm like, that's perfect.
And what did you do your week that you have to repent that much? Like, what's going on in your life that you need 6 hours of salvation?
I'm telling you, it was a marathon.
Yeah, we stopped when I was like 8 years old. When my parents split up, like my dad left and then Jesus left.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, all right, bye. But he stuck around. He just moved two houses down.
Your dad?
he bought a house that was like a block away.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. So we didn't have any issue. There weren't any like, you know, custody battles. Uh-huh. There wasn't like any sort of tension between them. They kept it real cool. It's probably why I'm not a drug addict.
Right.
I made it to the comedian stage, but I didn't go to like.
You didn't go the full blown.
I'm not full blown.
You didn't go full blown.
I still
had
somewhat of a dysfunctional family, but with love. Are your parents still together?
Well, my father passed a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. What happened to him?
He had Parkinson's.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I talk about it in the special.
As you should.
HBO, yeah.
Absolutely.
April 26th.
What's it called, your special?
Well, it's sort of, it's called Entre Nos, which is like the equivalent of the Def Jam, but for Latino comics.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
That must have been very difficult. My father passed of Alzheimer's, which is, you know, neurodegenerative. So
it's just
heartbreaking.
It's hard because, like, I don't know if you feel the same way. I kind of would have rather been sudden. Like, boom.
Yeah.
Dad passed. Like,
How long was he sick with Parkinson's?
He was sick for like 15 years.
Oh.
So we had to watch this deterioration for every year. Like,
a little bit more of him
losing,
got taken away.
Yeah, he's losing a little, you know, motion there. He's losing hand-eye coordination there. So it took a toll on all of us, especially my mother, you know.
It's the most brutal, like Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, any sort of disease where there's that gradual like decline.
Yeah.
It's so heartbreaking. I was fortunate because Alzheimer's is similar.
Right.
I mean, on like an average time frame, it can be anywhere between like 6 to 10, 12 years that somebody is declining. My father, from diagnosis to him passing away, was about a year.
Oh, wow.
So we were very fortunate in that it was a quick year. But I mean, it was a boot camp of going. The stages still happened. It just happened so fast. Once we kind of understood what was going on in one stage, the second stage was there. So, but were you doing, what time, what part of this process of your father being sick did stand-up come?
I was doing stand-up.
The whole time?
Before he got diagnosed. So I started stand-up in college.
Wow.
Yeah, and sort of dropped out. I was like, I'm done with this. I was like, I figured out what I want to do.
Right.
Mom was not happy.
Same.
She did not talk to me for a whole year.
Yeah, but now you're doing fine. Now you're on HBO.
Yeah, now she's like, I love it. I always knew.
I'm like, no, you're like, but you made me marry Jesus.
you
didn't always know.
You gave me the cold shoulder for a year. So I was already doing stand-up, and then he got diagnosed, and then it was just, you know.
What was it? Do you remember that
day or moment?
I do. So he was, so we lived across the street from like a CVS, which I worked at. I was like a pharmacy tech.
I fucking love CVS.
I love CVS.
Oh my God, the coupons are like, it's a scroll. It's like the Bible scroll.
And now you just do it on the app. You just download and then they punch it in and you got coupons and everything on your app.
I didn't even think about the app.
Yes, get the app. That way you don't get that long ass receipt at the end.
It feels so good though, getting that receipt. I'm like, oh my God, I won. I love CVS.
It's like a game show every time.
Yeah, sponsor me. Send me some more coupons.
So I remember the day because he was walking to CVS and he fell. Right. And I was like, what happened? And he had it was like, you know, those things they tie the newspapers with. Like, I don't even know if your listeners even know what newspapers are anymore. So he was like, I was trying to jump over it. He goes, I saw it, but my body didn't react the way. It's man. Weird. He was like, I think I should go to the doctor because it was the first time I couldn't. And I was like, oh, okay. So we went to the doctor. And then sure enough, the doctor comes out and he's like, yeah, you have Parkinson's.
They knew that fast.
Yeah, they did. So they ran some tests and they were like, yeah. He was like, yeah. He was like, your hand-eye coordination is going to start being affected. And, you know, and it was sad because, you know, at that time he was still working. And then, you know, he tried to work as long as he could. And he'd come, you know, he loved comedy. So he'd come out to comedy shows, but you could see it. And like after a while, as he started getting sicker, he didn't want to come out anymore from the house,
right.
Which was just sad because then he was just home all the time.
How did your relationship to comedy change in that time frame?
Well, for me, I was trying hard to like get stuff done. Like I think
everyday stuff.
Yeah, like not like those milestones that we set up for each other when we start comedy. So it's like I want a half hour special.
Like
I
we're talking about late night.
Late night. I want to do that. So for me, it was like, I have to speed this up. Even though we have no control over it, we think we do.
Yeah, right, you think you do.
I'm like, I got to put that together this late night. It's going to happen. And thankfully, I got to do the Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
He saw you, your dad?
He got to see it. So I was like, for me, it was like, I got to speed this process up because I don't know how much time I have with him.
Yeah.
So that he has to see this stuff and hopefully be proud because I'm still chasing that. You know, approval from my father.
Always.
Still, never got.
But. You probably still are. I still am, and he's gone.
Yeah. I'm still like,
what do you think, Dad?
Yeah. Still like, huh? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that,
no? Is that funny?
Yeah. No? Okay. I'll keep working at it.
Yeah.
So comedy, like, even now, too, is like, every time something new, like, now I have kids, so it's like, I'm trying to, you definitely have to take a different approach to it. Like,
right.
You know, you go back to New York, you see the dude you came up with, and you're like, all right, cool, we're all in the business mindset. But then you see, like, the young kids, like, you're like, you have no idea what's ahead of you.
Oh,
it's fun doing spots, but you have no business sense to this. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you have no idea. The business, I was talking about this yesterday, like, comedians, for the most part, we don't come with the business sense.
No.
It's something you learn the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
You learn it, like, after you've made some shitty mistakes.
And still, some people don't have it.
No. And they have everything else.
Yeah.
That's a very difficult aspect of this career is that in order to be successful for the longest time, you have to cover all those lanes, being the manager, the promoter, the accountant, all these jobs, these hats, and then also be funny and get up every night that you can.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult career, but it's the coolest career.
It's the coolest, but there's so many things you have to do.
Yeah.
And it's so sad when you see guys who are like so talented and they don't do the other stuff.
Well, you know, they're their own worst enemy. Yeah. They're like, if you just did this,
you would be taking over.
I had people tell me that, you know, about things that I was doing wrong. Like, luckily, I had people in my life and that were like, you need to not do that and you need to do this. And then when you do it, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to wake up early. Cool. I need to be a human in the morning.
I gotta be responsible. I gotta be consistent.
Noon isn't all right. You probably get up early though because you have children.
I get up. Lately, I've been getting up at like 5:30 because I'm shooting. So I'm doing this. It's coming out April 26th, and then HBO loved it so much that they were like, "We want you to do a half hour."
Oh, that's awesome.
That I'm shooting in a couple weeks.
So you did Entrenos, and then you're doing your
own. I'm doing a half hour.
Entrenos?
Yeah, Entrenos. And then I'm doing my own half hour that'll be coming out in the fall.
And so what's that going to be called?
You
haven't thought about it
yet? I have a couple names.
You don't have to say them.
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah.
But so I've been getting up every morning at like 5:30 so that I can work out before the kids get up because I can't look sloppy in the half hour.
No, I agree. And also, like, you know, that'll keep you sharp.
Yeah.
That'll keep you focused on the task at hand.
Right.
Yeah. And for you, you know, in those, if you don't mind my asking, in the final stages with mm-hmm. your father. Were you able to say goodbye to him?
Yeah, I was in New York for a couple weeks. He had gone into a hospice because it was just getting to the point where my mom was like, I don't know what to do, and he's in the final stages. So I got to go there for a couple weeks and just hang out with him, talk to him, you know. Just,
was he able to talk, respond?
A lot, yeah. At that point, most of his speech was gone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of it was labored.
Yeah.
But we got to, you know, just spend time together.
And connect.
Say yep. goodbye and, you know, do the things you would hope you could do before someone passes.
And after that time for you, were you able to get up? How soon were you able to get up on stage?
It took, so the first couple times I got up was like maybe 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
And it was just like almost like I was zoned out, like yep. autopilot. Just mm-hmm. I was doing the jokes. I would see them laughing, but I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then I started writing about it. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to talk about this. And I remember a couple times going up on stage like, so my dad, not ready. I'm not ready. And I'd like tears. And then people were like, what the hell just happened to this guy?
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Because I was like, I have to talk about it. It's all, you know, from like his passing, the funeral arrangement. Like I wanted to talk about it because it was funny, but it was just like, I just was not ready. So it took about a year before I was able to like, sort of like, bulldoze through those yeah. emotions and start talking about it. And it was funny because then the audience would come up to like, oh my God, I just went through that. Thank you so much for talking. So it's like I was talking about something different
yes.
that they weren't ready, you know, that some people were dealing with as well. And it was like, thank you so much for bringing this to light. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Everyone's going through this.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I went through the same thing. I remember like, you know, because I'm sure you talked about it while he was sick.
Yeah.
Like just maybe, did you have like a couple jokes about
that?
Yeah,
I had a couple jokes about it, yeah.
Right. And then, you know, I had the same thing when he was sick and some material about it. And then there was a couple moments after he passed in October where I go up on stage and I'm like, my dad, just like pop, yeah. pop, pop, never mind.
yeah, bye, bye. Weather's crazy, huh?
Yeah, there's a pigeon in the room. How'd a bird get in here? That's weird. Weather's crazy.
Give it up for birthdays. Whose birthday? Anybody? I can't.
Oh, my dad's not going to have any more birthdays. Okay, I'm going to leave. Yeah. I'm going to leave his Taco Bell hiring.
I'm going to go. Thanks. Have a good night. And they'd be like, she was only on there for 5 minutes. What happened?
She didn't tell a joke. She cried and then she left. What yeah. the hell?
Weirdest show. But even still now, like, I don't know about you. Like, it's been 2 years. Like, there's times I'll start talking about it. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the whole past week, I got high and cried in my closet. Great place to cry.
Okay.
It really is. There's clothes. You can just put them on the floor and, yeah. like, lay down on them. Yeah.
Okay.
Fitting rooms. Marshall's fitting room. Great place to
cry.
Oh,
you did it in public in a fitting
room. Oh, yeah. Because I started writing this joke about when you go through something very tragic like that, in just a mode of general communication, someone says, "How you doing today?"
Yeah.
And you're like,
"Yeah,
I'm fine." You're just
I'm
like,
okay.
That question's yeah. so much heavier.
Oh yeah.
Where before you're just like, "Oh, I'm great. How are you?"
Yeah.
You really think about how you are. You're like, "Well, actually, I've had a rough day."
Yeah.
You know, they're like, "All right, well, do you want almond milk?" Or yeah. And you're just trying to get like a latte order yeah. in.
I was just looking for an okay. You too? Are you?
Yeah.
Good.
And you?
Okay.
People don't really mean
yeah.
it.
Oh,
we
yeah.
got to stop saying that.
Yeah.
We gotta stop asking people how you're doing.
Which, by the way, don't watch Disney movies after
fuck.
A parent passes away. All Disney movies.
They're the worst. Coco?
Don't.
I had to shut it off.
Lion King. The dinosaur, the good dinosaur.
No.
None of them.
They're, Lion King.
Yeah.
Because
my kids will put it on Netflix. Like, oh, Dad, let's watch this.
You're
and they're like, what's wrong with Dad? He's crazy. No Disney movies. None of them. Yeah.
Do you talk about this in your special?
No, not this
that
one. Not
is
this stuff.
So
no.
funny.
Yeah. No Disney movies.
You gotta do that religion.
I hate Disney right now.
Oh God, that is so funny. My cheeks hurt from laughing Lion King.
They're redoing the Lion King. I'm like, I'm not ready to watch this live animation Mufasa die again. Nope. I don't care how much my kids beg. Like, can we go? Nope, we're not. You can go with your mom, but I'm not going. I've already cried through the animated version now.
Oh my God, that is so funny. And just in general, like those movies are already
yeah.
depressing.
Yeah.
I went to Mary Poppins.
I saw Mary Poppins. I like Mary Poppins.
Oh yeah, but you know, the song about where the lost things
yeah.
go,
oh, yeah.
lost it.
Yeah.
I was there with my friends. We smoked a blunt and then went and watched Mary Poppins. And, you know, the song about where your lost things go started. And I just grabbed my friend's hand and I was just like, gah!
Where did they go?
Where's my dad? Where is he? It's so funny what can trigger those emotions. You know, that's a part of just being an adult. Unfortunately, one of the stages we have to go through as 35, 36-year-olds is... Mm-hmm. considering losing our parents and how to navigate that, and not only how to navigate it but also how to thrive through and care for yourself. Like, I don't know about you, but one of the things that friends and family and strangers even said to me who've experienced something similar, Alzheimer's or any sort of neurodegenerative disease, after you lose somebody and going through that, watching your loved one decline, was you have to be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I was even still sometimes so hard on, I need to work. I just got to push through this, and not really like allowing those moments to grieve.
Right.
And like, as a man, and as a man who was raised religious, did you ever have like was it hard for you to have those emotions, welcome them and process them?
It took a while because my family was very like, we shut off emotions,
right?
You know, there's I think like all old Latino men are very like, you don't show emotion. Like, I had a joke, my dad told me I love you one time, and it was just like, I love you to move out from in front of the television, I'm trying to watch the show. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna count that one. So it did take a while for me to process. It was funny because my wife would constantly like, hey, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. She's like, I don't think you're good. It's some when this thing finally breaks, It's gonna be a mess.
Yeah.
So it was constantly just, you know, I was like, checking with myself, like, I'm all right. And then I, like you said, like, we don't take care of ourselves. So I started like really just, okay, like health wise for me was a big thing. I was like, my father never took care of himself health wise.
Right.
I got kids now, and I was like, my responsibility is to them. So that's when I started, like, you know, working out, eating better.
Yep.
Just being a little healthier, because I'm like, you know, I want to be here for the long haul. I want to get old, and now who knows? Maybe they have kids. Maybe it'll be a pop. I don't know.
Yeah, do some comedy preaching at their wedding.
And then,
marry them off to Jesus.
Marry them off to Jesus. And then also, like, another thing a lot of we don't do is we don't take those opportunities to take a break and just enjoy the break.
Yes.
So for my father, his biggest dream was to always go to Hawaii. Never went, because once he got sick, he was like, I can't sit on a plane that long. So I got to go to Hawaii. And aww. For me, it was just like, okay. And then you start realizing, like, why don't I take vacations? Why don't I take these breaks just to give myself that recharge? Because we feel like we always have to constantly be working, because I'm almost there. And if I stop working, somebody else is going to take my spot.
I need that gig. And I don't know when the next one's going to come. I got
to
get this
gig. And it's the worst mindset to have, because mm-hmm. there's so many opportunities, especially now with like digital platforms and everything. Like, everyone's path is different. We got to stop worrying about like, oh, this person's going to take this from me. How'd that person get that? That's
you
theirs.
Can create your own opportunities.
Yeah, that's theirs.
Everyone's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be great.
Everyone gets what they, you know, you're going to find your lane and get what you deserve. Like, it's going to be okay.
Absolutely. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
This is really delightful. I wish we could talk more, but they have to kick us out because somebody else is coming in.
Okay.
Who's coming in, Aaron? Oh, punch drunk. That's fun.
By the way, before we go, I want to smoke with you one time.
Oh, we've got to smoke.
I don't smoke.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I would love to smoke with you.
You make it look so fun. I watch your videos.
I'm conservative with
it. I watch your videos of you dancing with that unicorn head.
Listen, all last week, seriously, you talk about taking time for yourself. I was like, I'm going to hang out with my friends. Uh-huh. I'm going to go and do some, like, I'm going to go sushi and go to the movies and, like, go to the beach and just get high and cry.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to do.
I don't
want to
cry. I just
want to
get.
Well, I didn't want to, but it was a result of just being present and taking care of myself.
Right.
You know, I went through, like, a stage of just feeling some anger and frustration with, you know, just the grieving process.
Right.
And so I got high almost every single day. And just started, you know, I have those costumes, those masks.
Right.
And I was like, well, let's get in there.
It looks fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I've smoked a handful of times, like back in college.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because we live in California, it's like, oh, it's legal. And there's all these dispensaries. My wife was like, oh, let's try it.
Right.
And I went and I got overwhelmed because I was like, there's no, Like when you walk in, there's no like starter pack. Like, you know, when you were a little kid and you're like, oh, I want fish. And like, oh, here, this is everything you need.
Here's,
box.
Here's all the stuff you need to start it.
There's the rocks. There's a little pirate ship. Yeah. Boom, a little plant. A
little snorkeler.
Yeah. And you're good. There you go. And there's a little fish in there. A little fish food. They don't have that at dispensaries where I'm like, oh, where's the starter pack? So I panicked and the dude was like, oh, what do you want? What strains? I'm like, I was like, do you have edibles?
Cause no.
He gave me lollipops and I almost died.
Yeah, you did four times.
I almost died.
Yeah.
Like
everyone almost dies on edibles at some point.
And this is my favorite part of it. My wife is savage. I got to see her true colors because I was like legit on the floor thinking I was going to die. And I was like, you got to call an ambulance. And she's like, no, I'm not calling an ambulance. So I passed out on the floor. The next morning I woke up and I was like, you wouldn't call 911 for me? She goes, no, because. And then after she told me, I was like, it makes sense. She goes, if the cops show up and we're both high, you almost dying and I'm paranoid. My fear was that CPS was going to take the kids from us. So I'd rather you just die there. I could explain the death and then I keep the kids. And I was like,
Fair point.
You are savage, but
yes, you are a planner, woman. Yes, yeah. That's smart.
Yeah. She's like, I can explain the body, but you, us high, I can't explain.
Edibles. I've died 1,000 times on edibles. It's brutal.
So I need a guru. You'd be the guru.
I will ease you into it because I don't go crazy with it. I respect and totally am okay with the fact that I'm somewhat of a lightweight. I'm a very sensitive individual.
I just want to feel nice, a little giggly. That's it.
A little suit.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
Here's where marijuana is now when you go into dispensaries. Uh-huh. There's two levels, uh-huh. Coma or Andromeda. Uh-huh. That's it.
No, I want to feel
either
a
dead
little
or
giggly.
In outer space.
I want to feel a little giggly. I don't want to pontificate.
Yeah, I don't want to pontificate.
I don't want to start rethinking my marriage with Jesus. No, I just want a little giggle.
I just want to giggle and really love the sunset.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's it.
Where can my people find you?
Find me, Eric Rivera, E-R-I-K, Rivera Comedy on Instagram and Facebook. I'll even do something better. If you follow me on social media, I will send you a free copy of my one-hour special that I shot a couple years back for
That's
free.
Cool.
You get it for free, and then you watch the HBO thing, and you get to see the evolution.
Yes, and what about your specials coming out?
April 26th on all HBO platforms. I know it's Avengers week and everybody's like, oh, I gotta go see the Avengers
movie.
You can watch it on demand. You can watch it HBO Go. You can watch HBO Now. There's no excuse.
No excuse.
No excuse.
And then you're gonna have another special coming out with
That's
HBO
coming out in
later
the fall.
In the year.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for you. And
Thank
I've
you.
Learned that you and I have a lot in common.
We do.
We do.
Look, now we know each other. Our first conversation.
Both our dads are dead. But we're doing fine.
Yeah, we're gonna smoke. We're gonna cry.
We're gonna smoke. Everything's gonna be fine. Eric,